Microsoft is paying more than $7 billion for a cell phone maker that used to be cool.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the global perspective on business and economics. Cell phone maker Nokia of Finland and tech giant Microsoft used to be co-workers who collaborated on smartphones using Windows software, but that relationship has blossomed into a full union. Microsoft will pay $7.2 billion to buy the handset business of a company that was once the Apple iPhone or Samsung Galaxy of its time. Nokia stock is right now up 38% in Helsinki. The BBC's Mark Gregory has been following this.
By Microsoft actually having direct control of Nokia, it has more ability to push the company in the direction that it wants. You also have to remember that Microsoft has been reorganizing itself. Actually buying Nokia, as opposed to having just a partnership deal with it, is part of this tidying up exercise, I suppose, which Microsoft hopes will mean it's a much more streamlined business and much more able to make the bold strategic decisions it needs to really compete with the likes of Apple and Google.
Now, Nokia is a very important brand within Finland, and apparently there's some mixed givings. In fact, some people are in mourning that a Finnish asset is going over to Redmond, Washington.
Well, yeah, this is a pretty emotional moment for Finland. You have to remember that just 10 years ago, this company was worth more than $100 billion. It's now only worth about $11 billion. But most people in Finland can remember the day when Nokia was a national trophy and it also accounted for more than half of the Finnish stock market. So the fact that it's now lost its independence will be something of a big moment. There will also be, of course, some relief because many in Finland were worried that the decline was now so strong that eventually Nokia might disappear. The fact that it's now under the umbrella of Microsoft, which although it has strategic problems, is obviously a very profitable, strong company, at least gives the remnant of Nokia some chance of survival.
Among other things, Mark Gregory covers technology for the BBC. Mark, thank you.
Thank you.
Microsoft is paying $2.2 billion to license Nokia patents. Florian Mueller, a German tech analyst, says this is about Microsoft using the look and feel of Nokia's work and less about the underlying software.
This is the opposite of the Google-Motorola deal. Google, 2 years ago, bought Motorola for $12.5 billion because it owned hardly any patents. In Microsoft's case, they've got an incredibly strong portfolio that almost every Android device maker has already licensed from them and is paying for. So they didn't really need to beef up their own patent holdings. What they were interested in is securing access to Nokia's innovations for the long haul.
There's also some Kremlinology going on here, along with everything else. Microsoft will put back on its payroll Nokia's CEO, Stephen Elop. He used to work at Microsoft and is said to be a man with strong leadership vision. That's interesting because Microsoft's CEO, Steve Ballmer, has just said he's phasing himself out over the next year. Now let's do the numbers. Stock index futures for the United States are up sharply this morning after a big rally in Europe and Asia on our Monday holiday, but the FT 100 index in London right now is down 0.1%. Time Warner and the CBS network are now putting away the hammers and tongs and have wrapped up their ugly negotiation over how much the cable operator should pay for TV and digital programming. It was a deal fought while standing on the necks of their own customers. More than 3 million cable customers in New York, LA, and Dallas were unable to get CBS shows for a month.
Looking for a good read? Visit the Big Book blog at marketplace.org. Listen to author interviews and read excerpts from the Marketplace bookshelf online at marketplace.org/thebigbook.
It's always so infuriating with the job search, right? You send out reams of resumes and sometimes you get back nothing. In recent months, a group of unemployed workers in France have been working on a new tactic to put themselves in front of potential employers. Christopher Worth reports from Marseille.
Finding a job in Marseille is really tough. At 14%, the jobless rate here is much higher than France's national average. But on a busy street near the city's business district, Diamandre Fontaine unfurls a large 6-foot by 3-foot poster of herself. And she and her friends paste it on the side of a boarded-up building.
Here is my photo with what I want to work.
Fontaine is an unemployed HR officer, and in big black letters, the poster gives her name, a phone number, and her work qualifications.
We hang it so the persons come out the subway and see it.
The hope is the right person, maybe from a nearby company, sees Fontaine's picture and hires her. We step back and take a look.
How do you feel about your face being on the street?
I like me there. I like it. That's why I do it.
Fontaine is part of a group called CV Street that's plastered Marseille with posters of her and other workers. Josh Fattusi, the project's co-director, says the larger goal is to show that unemployment isn't just a statistical problem. It's a human one.
We have people that need to find a job, and they have the posters hanging out in the streets so people can actually see who they are.
Like poster hanger Dennis Mayroy. He's a gardener who lost his job 4 years ago.
This is better than a written resume, because when you send a resume, you have no idea what happens to it. But this is very public. Maybe someone will see the number and call.
The posters do attract attention. Dominique Fanny passed by and stopped to talk to Diamandra Fontaine as she hung another poster.
I think it's really interesting because you actually see a face. You see a smile. I hope she finds work.
The project's organizers claim two people have found jobs so far. Not a lot, but it's much better than sitting at home. And they want to roll the idea out to other cities across Europe. In Marseille, France, I'm Christopher Wirth for Marketplace.
And I like to say that technology now is like rock and roll in the 60s, the cutting edge of society and culture, for better or for worse. That said, it's not always about tech. The consumer products company Jardin is paying $1.75 billion for scented candles. Jardin's adding Yankee Candle to a roster that includes crock pots, Rawlings baseball stuff, and little Sunbeam appliances. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.